what is our understanding of this God? You know, thank God it's the first Sunday of the month, and honestly, all I have for us this morning is a word for the to guide us through the months. Be cheerful. Be cheerful. For all you guys that don't like smiling, be cheerful. So do me a favor, just turn to the person next to you and just say, be cheerful. Be cheerful. Smile. Jesus loves you. Be cheerful. Say, be cheerful. David, be cheerful. Ayomide, be cheerful. Yeah, I like the smile. You know, be cheerful. Why do we have a reason to be cheerful? Maury, be cheerful. Be cheerful. Sophia, be cheerful. Matthew, be cheerful. Fumi Subar, be cheerful. And she burst out in a lovely smile. Honestly, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord laid this on my heart, and I couldn't understand why be cheerful. And then he gave me a verse, and that kind of compounded it. John 16:33. It's Thanksgiving Sunday. It's just a short word for each and every one of us. John 16:33. I'll read from the NLT. New Living Translation. It says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Can we now go to New King James Version? New King James Version. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up. No, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I thought to myself, be of good cheer. Be cheerful. But what precedes it, okay, thank you very much. What precedes it says, in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulations. If you look at the preceding chapter, this was a period Jesus Christ was preparing his disciples for what was to come. He knew his lifetime on earth was coming to an end. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that he would rise again. But he was trying to prepare the hearts of the disciples for what was coming. And honestly, I look at that John 16:33. And I look at the context of the first century Christians. And I don't see much difference between then and now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not sure how many people, on Friday, there was on the news, the Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, made a statement. He had a review conducted. That was in December. The preliminary report came out on Friday. He commissioned a review. And you know the key points that he said that came out of that review? That persecution amongst Christians is close to genocide. As in this day and age, that in some areas of the world, that persecution is close to, it's almost genocide, as in the rate at which Christians are being persecuted and killed. And I listened to the news on Friday, and I thought, okay, is that why God wanted me to say this? One of the statistics they gave, they said before 2003, in Iraq, there were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq before 2003. Now, there are about 120,000. So in the space of 16 years, it's reduced by over 90%, the population of Christians in that country. And it's not just Iraq. There's so many other countries. We heard about the bombing in Sri Lanka recently. And it's easy for us to think, you know, there's so much challenges. Christians are being persecuted. They're going through so much in all those places. But even when we come back home, and when I'm talking about home here, there are subtle discriminations. There are overt discrimination. Not all of them are subtle. Some are pretty much in your face. You do certain things and you wonder, is it because I'm a Christian? I was mildly amused. Again, I think it was in the news during this past week. For all you folks that love watching EastEnders, let's be, we're in church, right? You watch EastEnders, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord now. Okay, we're all very spiritual people. We don't watch those kind of programs, right? Okay, you can wink at me. All right. Okay, I got some winks. So, apparently the BBC said that they're going to try and be bringing in more religious input into their programs. Now, I pray they will reflect Christianity in true light. I'm not sure if they will do that. The rationale, there's a realization that there is a move away from religion. But, you know, you kind of wonder whether there's one standard for Christianity and another standard for other religions. Let's pray that it wouldn't just be that. It would be Christianity will be reflected in true light. And as the world has become desensitized to all manners of atrocity, let's pray that the media, and that's a prayer point for us, that God will start using the media to cause a change in the orientation of people, in the mindset of people. Because a lot of the way people think right now, it's what's being fed through the media. TV, social media, all manners of social media, the things that are going on there are influencing how people think. Praise the Lord. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome. Now, when you think about it, there are different translations, different versions. Some say, be of good spirit. Some say, be courageous. So, are we equating cheerfulness to courage? There's the definition of cheerfulness that says that, you know, being pleasantly optimistic. Pleasantly optimistic, even if it is unrealistic. Being optimistic, even if it is unrealistic. So we go through some things. We prayed, you know, that Habakkuk prayer. I said, even though the fig tree is not blossoming, there's no olive in the vine, even though everything seems to be going awry, yet I will praise God. Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Why? Because it makes my feet like the hinds feet. It causes me to walk upon my high places. It's a statement of faith. It's a statement of hope. But it's also a realization that, yes, things might not be the way we expect. If anybody says to you that you're a Christian, since you've given your life to Christ, life is going to be a bed of roses, that person is kidding you. That's a lie. Because that's not what the word says. I once heard someone speaking, and they said, as a Christian, I cannot go through suffering. I've heard people say that. As a Christian, I cannot suffer. As a Christian, I cannot. But that's not what Jesus Christ said. Let's break that John 16:33 down. says, these things have I spoken to you. My first question is to you is, what has he spoken to you? Are you hearing from him? Because we're saying you should be cheerful. What will make you cheerful is dependent on what you have heard. It's dependent on what you know of the person that has spoken to you. There are some words you hear that gives you a reassurance. And you know that, come what may. You know what? Because I've heard this thing, I'm so convinced. I know for a fact. So even though it doesn't seem to be the way I think it should be, because a word has been spoken to me, because the Lord has said something to me. I mean, Baba always says something. You say that God says it, you believe it, that settles it. So what has God said? If you're going to be cheerful, you need to know what God has said. What has God spoken to you? You know, the psalmist said that, you know, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. He said in Psalm 119 also that, you know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So what is guiding you? Is it God's word? He says, these things have I spoken to you. Praise the Lord. Why? That in me you may have peace. Praise the Lord. You know what I find interesting about that phrase? What struck me is the may. And I went to check, you know, other translations. Most say may. Now, the word may, I believe, is conditional. It is not absolute. He says, I've spoken to you these words, that in me you may have peace. So God has said certain things to you. You're holding on to his word. Does that mean things can happen? Bad things can happen. He says, in me you may have peace. However, in the world, you will, certainty, absolute, have tribulation. Synonyms, other words for tribulation, suffering, trouble, trials, sorrow, challenges. The world is full of all that. The world is full of challenges, it's full of trials, it's full of sorrow, it's full of suffering. He says, those things will come by virtue of you being in me. The good news. He says, be cheerful. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be of good spirit. Be of good spirit. Have the right mindset. Have the right attitude. Take heart. Take heart. Take heart. Be courageous, have the right mindset, have the right attitude. Even though there could be suffering, there could be challenges, there could be sorrows, there could be trials, there could be things you didn't plan for. But he says, you know, have the right heart. Be in good spirit. Why? I have overcome the world. Not that I will overcome. I have overcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, if there's no reason for you to be happy to rejoice, he says, I have overcome. It's already done. It's done and dusted. So you have every reason to be cheerful. Even though things might not be happening the way you expect, even though things might not be panning out the way you planned, what word has God spoken to you? What has it said to you? It says, take heart, be of good spirit, be of good cheer, be cheerful because I've overcome the world. That is the word God has for you this morning as you go through the month of May. You know, he's saying that, yes, there will be challenges, but be of good spirit, take heart, be courageous. Why? Because I have overcome. I have conquered. I have defeated. It has already been done. Not that he will do it. Praise the Lord. So you have every reason to rejoice. And I say that it takes God's spirit to be in good spirit. I mean, some versions say that, you know, be of good spirit. And I say it takes God's spirit to be in good spirit. Because it takes the Holy Spirit. When you look around you and you see all that's going on, you have to say, you know, if we're to rely on what we see physically, we will lose, we will faint, we'll lose heart. If we're to look around us and say, okay, you know, from Monday to Saturday, all manners of things that go on, we'll just say, man, it's not worth it. How do we cope? But it takes seeing. I mean, we've been having an awesome time in our Bible studies. Please try and come. That God will open our eyes of understanding, not just in our Bible studies, in our prayer meetings. I think God has been speaking to us. That it will open our spiritual eyes, that we'll see beyond the physical. That our gaze will not just be on what is going on around us. Like, you know, Elisha that prayed for his servant, that, oh Lord, that you would open his eyes, that he can see that greater is he. The one that is with us is greater. That he can open his eyes and see that we're surrounded by a host, a heavenly host. So even though the physical might look bleak, even though, you know, you look around and it seems hopeless, that the Lord will open your spiritual eyes and you'll see that it's full of hope. That you have a host of angels around you. You have angels, you know, that have been given charge over you. That you won't dash your feet. And that is why you need to be cheerful. You know, people will see you. There's a song we used to sing when I was younger. And it says, why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? I know that I am saved. I know that I'm saved. You know, and the fact that the joy of salvation. You know, folks should see you. Some people are nodding. You know, the old school people, they're already singing it in their minds. Do you know it? You don't. Do you know it? Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? I know that I am saved. Okay, sorry about that. But yeah, there's a reason. There's something that makes, you know, the joy within you that comes from within. It's that joy that comes from knowing the Lord and having a relationship with him. So even though things might not be happening the way you think they should, the Lord is saying to you, be cheerful. As you go through this month, be cheerful. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Irrespective, rejoice. No matter what comes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm emphasizing it. Rejoice. Even though it looks bleak, rejoice. This morning, I was sharing a verse with the boys, and we looked at Romans 12:12. And we'll end on this note. Romans 12:12 says you should rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. You have a hope. You have a future. Because your future is secure in Christ Jesus. So rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation, in challenges. When those challenges come, because it says they will come. That's what John 16:33 says. It says they will come. But when they come, be patient. Because you've got a God that is backing you up. And it says, steadfast in prayer. Don't let us stop praying. Brethren, don't let us stop praying. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of saying the word, a word in season. I pray that as we go through the month of May, we'll have every reason to be cheerful. I will have every reason to be cheerful in the month of May. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to have every cause, every reason to be cheerful. I'm going to be cheerful. I'm determined to be cheerful because I know what the Lord has said concerning me, concerning my situation. I'm going to be cheerful, irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of what people might say. I'm going to be cheerful. Shimon, I'm going to be cheerful. I don't know about you. I'm going to be cheerful in this month. Can we just turn that into a prayer? Very briefly, just a word. I mean, the word is be cheerful. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Be courageous. As you go through this month, pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see, you know, the reasons to be cheerful. Even though things might not be happening the way you think they should, that you'll see reasons, multiple reasons to be cheerful, to give thanks. And so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.